Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Jeffrey Rogers, who's the co-founder and CEO of the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. Their website is usiaht.org, and we're going to focus specifically about how boys are victims of sex trafficking, too, and he wrote an article recently for Fox News for this. Jeff, thank you for joining us on the program.
Thank you for having me, Jerry. It's a pleasure.
Sure, and I believe I had you once before. For those not familiar with the whole issue, though, of human trafficking and sex trafficking specifically, could you just give us an overview of what's going on in the country?
Sure, and I'll start globally, because when we look at the globe, there are identified over 40 million sex slaves and labor slaves and forced marriages, so basically human trafficking victims across the world today. There's more slaves than at any other point in human history, and so that's a global statement. And then we look into the United States, and to realize, and this is where most people don't realize, that we have an epidemic problem here in America as well. America is identified as the number one demand generator for human trafficking worldwide, and we also have a tremendous amount of individuals here in our own country who are labor trafficked and sex trafficked. And so when we begin to look at numbers, it's hard to find numbers on this, but we estimate easily over 100,000 kids are trafficked for sex every single day in America. And these are American kids that are being purchased by American citizens and trafficked by American citizens. It's an American epidemic.
Well, when you say purchased, I mean, that sounds like slavery.
Well, that is the right term, because these are kids who are being forced to have sexual relations with an individual for an exchange of something of commercial value. That is the legal definition of sex trafficking for minors. And so they're being purchased for cash. They're being purchased for a place to stay. They're being given food or drugs or anything they might need in order to have a place to stay or have something to eat, but they're being forced to have sex in exchange for that. And so that, by legal definition, is sex trafficking of children.
Now, you're saying that perhaps there's as many as 1,000 boys and girls, right, as far as sex slaves in America, 100,000.
We're saying 100,000 kids, and that's based upon
kids.
If we look at the different communities where we've done work historically, and we've been able to identify with authorities their actual numbers, real estimates of how many kids would be trafficked for sex in that community, and then we take that and multiple of those locations extrapolate that across the United States, that's where we can easily say there's over 100,000 of these kids out there.
Now, this is highly illegal. So if one of these type of situations were to be exposed or whatever, there could be all kinds of arrests, correct?
Absolutely. But I will say that it's very difficult to prosecute these cases. The amount of time and effort from law enforcement to get the case lined up is extraordinarily difficult. Yeah. And in many, many cases, the individuals that are charged plead down to lesser crimes, and so they get off for it. So yes, it's very illegal. It's horrific. And yet we just don't have enough of these prosecutions taking place across the country. And again, mainly because of the amount of work involved to try to bring them to court.
Tell us an anecdote or two about, you know, one of these kids that ends up in this situation. Is this somebody who's, let's say, maybe they're a runaway and kind of like the old Oliver Twist, where poor Oliver ends up with a gang of thieves and so forth in London because he has no means and so forth. It's kind of a variation of that kind of thing. I mean, tell us a story or two.
Sure. So I'll say, just starting with stats. So if we look at statistics, the National Center on Missing and Exploited Children put out, they would estimate, based upon what they've seen, 1 in 7 of these endangered runaways out there on the street are sex trafficking victims. We also know, we've seen stats that say maybe 60 to 70% of sex trafficked kids come out of the foster care system, and many of them because they're running. And so it's the vulnerable in our society. So that's where we know a lot of these kids are coming from. But as far as how does it actually happen, we can give two anecdotes. One, we'll talk about a girl. The other, we'll talk about a boy. And so with girls, what we have are very skilled traffickers out there who are looking for girls who have low self-esteem. Maybe they grew up without a father figure or not a lot of love in their family. And so They have low self-esteems, and these traffickers find them either on social media or at the shopping malls or wherever they may find them. They go to bus stops and they look for these kids or other places where runaways hang out, and they will engage with them. And the kids with the low self-esteem, this trafficker will begin to act like her boyfriend, even though he's much older than her. He tells her he loves her. It's the first time she's maybe ever heard that. Ends up falling in love with this guy. And so he will then act like her older boyfriend for a long period of time. He'll groom her for 6 to 9 months. And then eventually, though, he'll flip the switch and say, okay, you work for me now, and here's what you're going to do. And so at that point, she's in love with him. They've developed this bond. And so many of them, she'll do anything she can to keep him happy. And so he's got her under his control. And that trafficker may have 3 or 4 or 5 girls in his group of girls that he's running. He calls them the stable, which is terrible because he dehumanizes them basically to animals. And so that's how the majority of girls in our society are trafficked.
Okay, now, wait, before you go on, what kind of money is involved in this kind of thing? Like, how much money is a guy in the scenario you just described? How much money does he make off of each girl, you know, as a guesstimate?
That trafficker can make between probably $200,000 to $300,000 per girl per year.
Wow. And now, what would keep her from saying to a... You know, let's say, obviously these girls are being used in forced prostitution. What would keep her from saying to somebody that she was with, I'm a prisoner, can you please help me get out of this scenario? Or would she be inclined not to do that because she's in love with this guy and think he has her best interests in heart?
That's exactly where it is. So it's a great question. A lot of people ask that question. They say, well, look, this girl isn't in chains. She's not being tied up. So why doesn't she just run? Well, it is because of that bond. And many times they call it a trauma bond, or they call something called Stockholm syndrome, which is where there's this trauma bond that occurs between the victimized and the victimizer to the point where they won't run away. Mm. And so that's why these kids, they aren't running.
Okay, now I rudely interrupted you. I think you were going to shift over to give an anecdote related to boys as victims of human sex trafficking.
Yeah, so we'll talk about the boys here. And so it's very, very different than the girls. And we've learned this firsthand. So at the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking, we opened the very first and only boys' safe home in the entire country 2 years ago. And so this is for boys under the age of 18. We're serving right now kids from the age of 10 to 17. And so we're operating this home for the last 2 years, and we've learned firsthand the significant differences of how boys are trafficked versus girls. And so the common scenario I just gave for the girls does not exist for the boys. The only thing common we find in how these boys are trafficked is that there's no commonality. And so there's multiple scenarios. One scenario would be we have a runaway from the foster care system who runs away. He's at the bus stop, and an older gentleman comes up and offers him a place to stay. As long as he can have sex with him, then he'll let him stay there. Again, by legal definition, this is commercial sexual exploitation of children, which is sex trafficking. Another scenario we have is a boy who is identified, comes out to his mom as being gay, and the home life erodes significantly, so he's not happy at home anymore. He's a gamer. He's on the gaming system all the time.
What does that mean, gamer? What does that mean, gamer?
So, for example, he's playing on the Xbox. So he's playing games.
Video game addict or something. Yeah, whatever.
And so an individual then finds him on that gaming system, begins to groom him, understands that he's not happy where he's at, and offers him a place to stay in their own home as long as he has sex with him and all the friends around him. And so here again, commercial sexual exploitation of children, and he's being sex trafficked. We had another scenario where the young boy was trafficked by his mother. We have another scenario of a young boy who his mother was trafficked by the trafficker. She got pregnant and had this young boy who was trafficked from, we don't know really when it started, but when he came to us, he was 10 years old. He had never been to school. He can't read. He can't write. He has no concept of math. He has no concept of money. And he didn't even know his own birthday. And so when he came to us, that was the state that he was in. and he was 10 years old. And so it was awesome because we get to begin to care for this young boy. We found out his birthday, and so we were able to share with him. We were able to give him his very first birthday party. And I'll never forget walking into the home. We had a balloon for him there, and I said, hey, have you ever had a birthday party? We can't wait to throw this party for you. And he said, no, I've never even received a balloon in my life. And so this is the type of trauma. This is the scenarios that we have taking place in the United States of America with American-born boys and girls. And it's just, it's time to stop this.
Wow. This home that you mentioned, this first and only home that you know of for boys dealing, you know, that are victims of this, where is that in the country? In St. Petersburg, Florida?
It's in Florida. So it is in the central part of Florida. It's an undisclosed location because it is a safe home.
Okay.
But it is in central Florida where we operate this home.
Why do you do this?
That's a great question. We do it because we've been called by God to do this. So we are called by God to engage and to help those who can't help themselves. We see these kids as the modern-day orphans. And so this is why we do what we do, because we've been called to engage in this. And really, I think just societally, it's our responsibility to care for these young kids and to get them out of these situations. And so it's tremendous focus and tremendous efforts being extended to these young kids to help them through a recovery and rehabilitation process. But one thing I will say is we know we will never end sex trafficking in America by just recovering and restoring the victims. We've got to move to the beginning of the problem and focus on demand. And so we are vehemently focused on identifying what's driving demand and how can communities begin to stop the demand for this within their own community.
You said earlier that there were maybe 40 million or so slaves around the world, around the globe, that are victims of human trafficking. You also said that the United States, as far as sex trafficking, maybe the 100,000 kids here in the United States. But you did mention also that demand-driven is something that the United States is partly or maybe largely culpable, even in other parts of the world. Can you break that down? What are you talking about?
So the United States is identified as the number one consumer of human trafficking worldwide. And so that would be individuals that are consuming sex, they're purchasing sex in our own country or flying to other countries to purchase sex with kids or other individuals. It also is the number one consumer when it comes to labor trafficking. So the goods that we purchase and those goods being produced by labor trafficking victims. So put all that together and the U.S. is identified as the number one consumer of human trafficking worldwide.
Wow. If you were to break down, we only have a minute left, as far as the number of trafficked victims worldwide, as far as labor versus sex, which is the higher number, the labor?
We see labor is higher. So of the 40 million, there's about 15 million of those identified as forced marriage. And the numbers I've seen is maybe a little over 4 million sex slaves around the world, sex trafficking victims around the world.
Okay, but and as far as labor is concerned, some of that would be like when we buy cheap goods in this country that are made in China or something, we don't realize the slave-like conditions that these poor people made them in. That would be true with some sports shoes and things like that as well.
It would be true with many, many products. It's not an area of expertise and focus that we have. Our organization is predominantly focused on sex trafficking, but the way you describe it is accurate.
Wow. All right, well, we're basically out of time. I'll give your website, and then maybe you can give a 10-second concluding thought. USIAHT.org, the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. A closing thought from you, Jeffrey Rogers, please. 10 seconds.
So I really appreciate the time, and the closing thought is that we as a society have got to step up, and it's time to eradicate the demand to take care of these young kids. And so we appreciate you bringing this to everybody's attention.
Okay, Jeffrey Rogers, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.